All right, the official time has arrived, according to the computer-connected clocks on the wall here, the Boulder, Colorado clocks. A very good evening to you all. This is N9VB Ken, and we're beginning the Flex SDR Interested Group discussion on Saturday, May the 27th at 0100 GMT Zulu and elsewhere in Europe. Thank you all for jumping in there tonight. We got a good group. I know there's lots of family activities and other things happening that tear us away. A special thanks to John for jumping in there, N1JM, with no mic. John, we're glad you're there. Type away down below if you want to send a message. And to Phil, VK6Phil, and did I see another VK4? There's Bob in there. Yep, we got all kinds of guys tonight. So a good morning to you and a good evening to the U.S. tonight. I just had a couple of quick comments to make about the email reflector. There was a lot of activity in the last couple of days. Jeff has a phase loss problem that he's very interested in solving or identifying, whether it's hardware or software and so on, and I'm sure you've read that. He's done an extensive testing, and it's a very, very interesting problem, particularly evident on CW. And then Toby, who is a new prospective SDR owner, is asking several questions about frequency stability, about QSK, TR times with the Personas sound device, I think. And he's very interested in that, and he needed some guidance and comments before making his purchase. So that was real interesting. And then the last thing that I saw this afternoon was the tremendous interest there in 6 meters. And the fellows who were discovering that their 100-watt amplifiers did not transmit on 6 meters, and I think they were somewhat concerned or disillusioned or whatever, but the 6 meter aspect turned out to be very interesting because there are fellows who have preamps connected to the QRP connector, BMC on the back, and are doing just great on their SDRs. So that is a lot of good reading there. And of course, the HP SDR group is trying to decide if it's sunny side up or greasy side down, and if perhaps they'll comment on that tonight to help us understand where they are. And then Dan has a real good announcement for us Saturday for a terrific session here on TeamSpeak. Okay, we'll get started. We'll go right down the list quickly and pick up comments and questions and see what's cooking. And you can see there's some chatter going on the channel there down below in text about how to set the clock properly in Windows and Linux on a dual boot machine. I came back from Linux and my time was 12:58 some in the morning, I think. I don't know. So I got it fixed real quickly here. All right, Bill, KD5TFD, a very good evening to you. Thanks for joining us tonight. Let's cook it.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Let's see, not a heck of a lot. Been poking at various HP SDR things with Phil. Phil seems to be doing the majority of the work these days. I got most, I got a bit of software things to work out that I have yet to dig into seriously. At the moment, we are doing, let's see, multi-rate sampling. So 48, 96, or 192 in, and we are always going to be 48 out. So we've got that going, got that finished off last week, I guess. And let's see, I got the videos from Eric for Dayton and then the process of turning them into digital stuff you can watch. And once we get charts and permissions from everybody, I'll get some URLs posted where people can grab the video, the charts, and or if you just want the audio audio to listen to. There's, I guess, 5 sessions from Saturday that are on average about 20 minutes apiece, and then there's also Gerald's session from Saturday, which is about an hour, and then the video from the hospitality suite Saturday night is, it looks like it's just under 2 hours or so. So keeping the hard disk spinning, doing all the, getting the video coded and all.
Okay, Bill, very good. Oh, man, the video from Dayton sounds very, very interesting. You know, the audio recording that we had was real hard to listen to. It had a low-level hum and some rumble or something. At any rate, Alan, KTWS, was able to take out quite a bit of it with some fancy Behringer processing, and then we replayed it last week, but gosh, it still lacked something. Maybe I chose the wrong encoder on this end for TeamSpeak, but very fine business on 4896 and 192. I'm sure that we'll get Phil to make a comment about that. Is that all being done with the new chip there, Bill? Is that the, what is the proper designation for it, a CT?
No, actually, I mean the rates are independent of chip. All the chips we've done, we've tried, have supported that. So actually, I'm currently working on a board with a Wolfson. AK has yet to see fit to come through with a chip for me as yet over here.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Good. Well, as you fellows are able to get a handle on that, it'd be very, very interesting to hear the comments comparing each to the chips. It doesn't have to be a calibrated comment, but just a perception. Be very, very interesting. Thanks a lot, Bill. We'll move right down the line here so we don't tie the guys up, but I'd like to hear more about that, perhaps from Phil. Eric, good evening to you, and thank you so much for being here tonight. How you doing? AA4SW, N9VV.
Yeah, hey, Ken, and I guess I'm doing all right. Yeah, picked up a nice cold, I guess, after I got back from Dayton. It was a whirlwind. I don't think I'll ever drive again, not only for getting an $80 towing bill for a ticket parking too close to a fire plug, but also it wastes 10 hours both ways, either way, and time that I could be spending with flexors and people interested in SDR. It was a whirlwind, and I had my dog and pony show, I guess, as you could all see at the booth and all the forums and so forth. I'd like to congratulate Bill and Phil for their Flexi Award wins. It's quite an honor, I feel, and they definitely deserved it. And I don't know, Dale's here. For his and all the people who won the Flexi Awards. Bob's here also, K5KDN, and he was there to get it, and I enjoyed meeting you, Bob. We made audio recordings of all the forums. I have most of the PowerPoint presentations, but not all of them, and I'm requesting that the authors do allow me to get them, and I'll also post them or send them to Bill. Did send all of the audio visual recordings to Bill. I didn't know how they actually came out. It was a little difficult to get my camera set up just so to record most of it because I couldn't be near the camera in most cases, and we tried to get it all. The booth was crowded all weekend long. I love this radio because it's so easy to sell. You sit down with somebody at a demo machine and you show them the width filter and the shift filter and point and click tuning, and you see their eyeballs just sort of pop out of the head. It's a lot of fun to sell the radio. Excuse me. Let's see. I still have quite a few buttons, and I think I'll probably just offer them. I'll post something on the reflector. If you were there, I tried to make as many buttons as I could, spent a lot of time at the booth and so forth, and putting calls on those buttons, but I have quite a few left, and I'll probably just offer them and send them out by mail for those of you who were at Dayton and didn't get one, and possibly if you're a flexor, we'll send you on one. Can't see wasting them, leaving them in the bag. HPSDR, wow, bunch of stuff going on on the HPSDR front. I guess my lack of reading over the last 2 weeks, getting ready for Dayton and noticing something about orientation on the board and not reading several messages that people had mentioned. I posted something that I guess was a time bomb thrown into a crowded room, and which I probably felt was necessary. I thought we had come to an agreement, but apparently I was mistaken about board orientation in the PC. As a result, I guess, and my admiration grows and grows for Lyle, KK7P, and Phil, N8VB, they reoffered the request for comments, I guess, last night. And apparently, in the discussion of the board orientations, it was decided that what Alex and, I guess, Chris had been requesting and I had thrown in, they began a major redesign of the Janus board and also the Osmandius. I'd stayed out of it after mentioning that, and I think it probably is in the best interest in the group in the future, because we have some new people that were never in on the standard setting, and they are project leaders. I'd hate to see the project sort of split into two orientations of boards because there were not enough space and whatnot, but you can read the forum if you care to. I do compliment again Phil and VB and also Bill and Phil here. You know, that's their design also that's being affected. But I think we'll have a better project for it, and we'll see how it goes in the future. We'll test them out. We're going to alpha on those boards pretty quickly. 400 Atlas boards have been ordered. I won't have. I'll have some more to say on that on the forum, which is phenomenal. Actually, we're over 300 orders, and we were able to just jam in another 100 boards at the very last minute and get those ordered. I'll have a full description of the board on the reflectors. I'll publish it on several reflectors. Methods for getting the boards and features and some of the things that we've just a couple of little changes we've made. In any case, look for that on the forums, and we'll figure out how to get them shipped. I should have them by somewhere around June 14th or 15th, and we should get them out in a few days after that. And fantastic effort by all on the Atlas boards. Let's see, anything else on that? I guess that's pretty much it. Very busy with trying to get back in shape here and get ready for Friedrichshafen. So I think that's it, Ken. I may have forgotten something, but we're good to go here.
Okay, Eric, you're a busy man. Holy cow. Well, very fine business on the getting back safe and sound. My gosh, a 10-hour drive both ways. So 20 hours, you lost practically a whole day when you could have been partying with folks in Dayton or with mommy at home or whatever and flying in. So next year, pack it all in a big box and send it by a UPS to the hotel in advance, and then you meet it there. Very, very good. A hearty congratulations to Phil and Bill and Dale and Bob. Oh, my goodness, yes, for your Flexi Awards. And, of course, the fact that you're here tonight says a great deal about your contribution and your how strongly you feel about it, right? We sure appreciate it. That's just wonderful. Fine business. Eric, on the buttons, yeah, very good on having a couple left. That's good. And then your report on the HPSDR is just amazing. The orientation of the boards and the ruckus when it looked like they were upside down or, you know, backwards or whatever for the connectors, that turned out to be absolutely fascinating. It brought a lot of mental energy to bear on it, and that's always good. I think that's good for everybody. And as you said, hopefully all the groups can stay together on sizes and orientations and so on, and get the stuff to fit. It would be wonderful if it would fit in one of the new home theater PC-style cases. That'd be great. If it did, fine. If it didn't, fine. We'll figure out another way. Very good. So we'll look forward to another comment from you as we open up the forum here in just a little bit. Bob, there you are. Are you feeling mighty proud of that Flexi K5 KD and in the group N9VB?
Good evening. Good day, everybody. Well, Ken, you know the old saying, I don't know if you've heard on the aerospace industry, but one R ship takes care of a whole lot of atom boys. That's what I found today in some cat code. I think we solved the dropout problem today. Thanks to Tim Ellison, who managed to catch a glitch we have not seen before on his port monitor log and sent it to me, and I got to checking it, and lo and behold, we did not have a serial port problem. It was a problem in parsing the cat commands, and I had through an act of omission not checked for special characters in the suffix of the command. That's now fixed. It's posted. I think it was revision 487, if I remember right. I posted it this afternoon. So anybody who wants to try it, Tim tried it and made his problem go away, and just hopefully it'll take care of everyone else that's had the problem. Thoroughly enjoyed Dayton. It was my first Dayton, and it was very impressive. Man can't see it all in 3 days, but I tried my very best to see everything there. Bought some toys, and we got home last night. We stopped in Oklahoma to visit my sister, so we didn't make it back to the house till yesterday evening about 7 o'clock. That's about what I've got, and pass it on back to you.
Okay, Bob, real good. Oh, what a great report, and congratulations on fixing that parentheses. Semicolon, no, it was a parentheses, wasn't it? Oh, man alive. Well, good thing that you caught it, and, of course, it had absolutely nothing to do with your code. It had to do with that logging program that was throwing a spurious character or formatting the spurious character in some kind of off-the-wall command. That was the impression I got. So thanks for catching that and sticking with it and getting it fixed. That's just wonderful. And, yeah, Tim has been a tremendous contributor, but I don't remember seeing him here on TeamSpeak. I wonder if he ever gets on TeamSpeak. Maybe we can encourage him to pick up on it. Very fine business. Glad you're there tonight, Bob. Thanks. You got back from the trip just fine, and we're sure glad you checked in. Okay, another Bob, VK4XV. Bob, are you copying from N9VV?
Yeah, thanks, Ken, and good evening to everyone out there from down under. Thanks for everyone that made the effort at Dayton to get us some audio. It was really appreciated down here. Not much from here, the DDS-60 bits arrived, and I managed to put them all together on a board, and looks as if it'll go. And the version 7 kit arrived, so I've got plenty to do here and a lot to learn. So thanks to everyone for all their help, and that's about it from here. Ken, back to you.
Okay, Bob, thanks so much for being there this morning, your time. Beautiful transmission from you. It sounds like you're right here in the room. Very high fidelity. You bet. There's lots of audio files, and now Bill's going to make available those video files, which will be very, very interesting, huh? That'll be fun to see those as well. And very fine business on your DDS-60 and the version 7 soft rock that you must have there. What fun, huh? Well, there's several of the fellows have built the DDS-60. I think Bill, TFD, might have one. So, if I'm not mistaken, several of the guys here have them. So, by all means, ask some questions and jump in there and get some help, and there'll be a lot of fun for you when you get that DDS cranked up. You'll be doing all kinds of fancy measurements. Brian, VK1DF is marked off there, muted off, but you're most welcome to jump back in, Brian, at any time. We'll be watching for your green button there. Cecil, good evening to you once again. How you doing? KD5NWA to take it.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Doing pretty good. I just got back from Dayton also myself yesterday. Yesterday morning, I drove for 11 and a half hours straight. Had a pretty good time at Dayton. I was mostly going to look for a spectrum analyzer or a signal generator. Wasn't able to succeed with that. The prices were just outrageous. So I decided that I would go ahead and move up the purchase of the SDR-1000 up a little bit since I had the cash. So I went ahead and picked one up there while they had it in stock. And right now, just before this meeting, I was playing with it, trying to set it up and get it to work and figure out all the bells and whistles. Other than the SDR-1000, I bought a bunch of parts having to do with software-defined radios, high-quality capacitors, bought a bunch of tubes. I want to put together some tube units, specifically regenerative units. So I bought some low-voltage tubes that will work on 9 to 12 volts. And what else? I also got me a real good buy on a Wenzel oven-controlled reference oscillator that's very low phase. And dummy me, I should have bought more than one. So I'm kind of hitting myself on that one. Big mistake. I got it for $35, and these things sell for about $180 to $190 if you can get them in quantity one. So other than that, everything's good. It's hot like the dickens here, but things are slowly moving on. I got till Tuesday on vacation, so I'm going to play with the radio here quite a bit for the next few days.
Okay, Cecil, real fine report from you there. And what fun you're having, huh? Well, yeah, boy, the prices on some of that equipment sound like it was just outrageous. So we're glad that you redirected the budget to the SDR. You're going to have a lot of fun with that. I don't know if you picked up the USB to parallel adapter or not, but, boy, that would be a good purchase for you, because I bet that would cure your low-frequency problem and get you off of that long parallel cable you got that's acting like a good antenna itself. Well, everybody's got a different opinion of those USB adapters. I guess at one time there was an urban tale they were generating noise, but no one will confirm that. Don't know what happened to the noise comment that Bob made one night, M3HY, but then that never came up again or was never substantiated, so I don't know. It sure works fine for me. Well, we got a lot of guys muted, so we'll slide right down the list to Phil. And, Phil, that will please you because you come up much earlier in the rotation. A very good morning to you. How's things down under in Perth? VK6APH, N9VV.
Fine, Ken. Very good. Good morning. Good evening, all. No, things are fine. We've got absolutely... glorious winter weather, wall-to-wall clear blue sky, but that brings some relatively cold nights for this part of the world. It goes down to about 4 degrees Celsius, which I know for many of you guys is not bad winter weather, but a little bit chilly for us. But no, absolutely glorious day down here. What have we been up to this week? Made a few changes to the Janus code. Nothing particularly exciting. One of the format that the new AKCHEP uses is a format called I2S, which is an interface standard for audio devices. So we changed the protocol in the code to I2S, which will make it easier for other folks in the future if they want to try other audio chips in there. Added the speed control for the A-to-D converter from the front panel, so that in the control panel you can select 48692, and that gets decoded inside the Janus code, and that seems to be running okay. Done a little bit of work. Phil Covington, probably many of you know, he's working on the Aussie board, which is the FPGA and USB controller interface to the PC. He's doing a lot of work on that, so he's very kindly let me do a little bit of work on the Mercury board, which is high-speed A to D converter. We connect the antenna directly to the input of the A to D converter and digitize it at the antenna socket. And I've started to write a little bit of test code for testing the linear technology 2208, I think the name of the chip is. So we'll do a little bit of parallel development there. Bill's been really busy working on the PC end of the code, which the Genesis board talks to, and I've been a little bit of help there, but I've also been removing a few, I think we call them undocumented features in my code, which will help from that little bit of things. So all in all, making very good progress. And yeah, I also saw the watched the exchange on the forum of the changing the board format for the future boards. I think that's really good. I must admit, I was pretty happy with the previous board layout where we had the input and output connectors 180 degrees, but having looked at the new board layout, I think it's really great, and it's important with so many new folks joining the project that we have a good standard for the format of the board, so other people can go and do their own things and produce their own boards, and it's going to plug into the back plane. So it's my turn anyway. Back to you, Ken.
Okay, Phil, thank you so much for being there, and I'll fire right back a question to you. The I2S that I've seen in the past, I always thought stood for I squared. Oh, maybe I'm confusing another bus. Is there a one-wire bus, I squared C, and I'm confusing that with I2S, Phil?
Yeah, I2S is a bus for controlling, setting up peripherals, getting I/O to them, setting up parameters. We use the I2S bus to set up the Texas Instruments TLV320. That does the microphone line in, headphone amplifier line out. At the moment we're using it. I'm using the Wolfson chip here as well at the moment to stay in sync with Bill, and we use it to set the various parameters. But the I2S bus, Italy 2 Sierra, is for is a digital audio standard bus used in DVD players, DAT players, DAT recorders, that sort of audio consumer technology.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Phil. I'll be darned. I'll look it up and learn a little bit about it. Very interesting. Fine business on your work on the Mercury. Do you actually have a 2208 yet? Was Phil able to get one to you?
Yep, I've got a 2208, and I haven't checked FedEx this morning, but winging its way. I think the last stop it made was in Memphis. I have the full. A full development system, courtesy of Linear Technology, for not only for the LT2208, but also full USB interface to the PC.
Oh, how wonderful. Congratulations, and hopefully it will make its way through customs at no cost. Very nice, Phil. That's terrific. Oh, I'm so excited for you. That's an extremely interesting chip, isn't it? When Phil first announced that, I read up a little bit, read the data sheet, and I just couldn't believe the performance of it. It was beyond anything I'd experienced, and it sounded really amazing. I guess Bob N4HY had told us at Dayton last year that the objective was to move the entire computation, the ADC part of the processing, to the antenna. But we wouldn't see that for many years to come. So this is very exciting indeed. Oh, gosh. Well, I'll have lots more questions for you, and I'll hold them till we open up the forum, or I'll send them to you in email. And fine business on Bill working on the, is it Ozymandias or Ozymandias? Very interesting project that board is. And, of course, Bill has got the interfaces figured out, so that's terrific. Very fine business on the speed control and also on the undocumented features. Well, may they remain undocumented. Real good, Phil. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. We sure appreciate it. Let's see. Mel, you have jumped in just above Phil and I recognize you. So let's flip the list just for a moment, if Rick will allow us, and we'll go back to Mel K0PFX for any comment. Mel? Very low audio, Mel, barely audible.
Well, okay, I'll have to talk a little louder. I've got a second sound card on here. Anyway, just made it in. I was out to supper this evening. So I enjoyed Dayton. It was a great time. And look forward to next year. That's all from here, Ken. Thank you.
Okay, Mel, we had good copy on that, and thanks for yelling into the mic or whatever you were doing there. That worked. And thanks a lot for joining us tonight. Anytime is great. Just jump in there when you can. Rick, thanks for being patient. Let's hear some comments from you this evening, please, sir. VE3MM from N9VV.
Okay, Ken. Yeah, thanks very much. Good evening to everybody, and good morning to Phil. Not much to report here. Went, got into Dayton last weekend and spent some time in the HPSDR forum. Got to touch base with Mel for a little while. Saw Bob V3GKM there and introduced myself to Tony, KB9YIG, and unfortunately, I was not able to spend much time with Tony. He was besieged with people wanting to, or other hands wanting to buy Soft Rock 40s from him. And let's see, I wasn't able to get to the Flex Radio forum on Saturday night. Unfortunately, I was traveling with another fellow, and we ended up going to a picnic, a DX picnic, at a big ham station out near the Indiana border. Anyways, had a good time there. Spent a lot of time out in the flea market, bought some stuff, and came back tired. So that's it from VE3 land. Ken, back to you.
Okay, Rick, real fine business. Well, thanks for being there tonight, and glad you had a wonderful time in the center of the U.S. and had a good trip to boot. That sounds like you met some great guys. Tony, my goodness, you know, we haven't seen Tony in here in 2-3 weeks maybe, and I finally sent him an email tonight and asked if he was feeling okay, and I hope that we haven't seen him because he's teaching class. You know, he's been teaching class at one of the local colleges there, Ball State or one of the community colleges near Muncie, Indiana. And I hope it's because he's doing that again, and he's all tied up in his as professor. Very good, Rick. All right, Scott, welcome aboard again tonight. And there's Scott, one of the new SDR owners. Congratulations, and what kind of questions have you come up with tonight? KQ8RP from N9VV.
Okay, Ken, very good. Good evening, everybody. No, we're doing okay, seemed like this week, recuperating. I didn't have any 10-hour trip or have to fly all the way across the world to get to Dayton. I'm only about 90-some miles, but a couple days I did attend. It seemed like took me a couple days later to recuperate. We had a great time. Finally got some pictures up on our website there of the Flex booth, and got to meet a lot of people that uses a Flex. Did not get into the forum so like I wanted to there, and was traveling with somebody else on Saturday, and we just we was going in different directions, it seemed like, and time got away from me. But appreciate the help today on, I guess I stirred up the question today on 6 meters. I knew I only had 1 watt out on 6, but I thought the receive was a little better than what it was. When I turned my 857 on today, I found, wow, 857 is receiving much better than the SDR is. I just want to make sure I didn't have a problem. But I think, who was it, Dave W, and there's a 9 call, put a good email out there about the preamp he's installed, and I think it's KM0T, maybe he's done a lot of work on 6 with
Down East Transverter and such, so it's a lot of information. Probably should end up getting on the forum with a lot of it to help a lot of newbies out like myself, but we're learning a lot every day, getting great reports. 10 meters has been fantastic the last few days, and 17's been excellent even till late in the evening here, so made a lot of good contacts with that, and hearing a lot more flexors, it seems like, now on the air. So maybe good things to come. So back to you, Ken, N9VV, KQ8RP.
Okay, real good, Scott. Well, you're doing a wonderful job exploring all the different features of your new rig, and that's exactly the right thing to do. And you'll get all kinds of different answers as you did. Some of the fellows have attached preamps to the QRP connector, and another fellow, was it John, W5GI, said that he had terrific gain on 6 meters, and it was every bit as good as his TS-2000 in comparison. That was quite a surprise. So we'll be interested to hear from John how he did that and what his test gear was or what his antenna setup was. Must be something special, huh? Very good, Scott. Well, we're sure glad you're having a good time and enjoying it. And there's lots of guys out here to answer your questions, and I hope you're getting a good friendly response from the email list. Okay, Yossi, you're the last on the list. We'll recognize you tonight and say thank you so much for being there. And what comments do you have for the group, please? All right, no comment at this time. So we'll expect you to go green there, Yossi, if I'm pronouncing your name properly. When you wish to make a comment, please feel free to jump in there and do so. Very good. All right. Well, thank you, fellas, so very much. Those of you who haven't gone green, and did I miss anybody? Let me run right up the line here quickly. Cecil, Bob, Eric, and Bill. Okay, I think I got everybody. So I'll say a very best regards, 7-3s to you all. The formal part of the Flex Radio SDR TeamSpeak session for this week has concluded, and now we'll open it up for general comments and all those questions that you want to ask Bill and Phil. Very good. Or about the connectors on Atlas boards with Eric. Hi. Thanks a lot, fellas. Good to have you in here tonight, and always a pleasure and very enjoyable session. Look forward to seeing you next week. And don't forget, Dan made an announcement on several lists that there's a real nice Saturday session here on TeamSpeak tomorrow. Dan, would you repeat the time, please?
It's at 1300 Zulu, which is 9 o'clock on the East Coast, 6 o'clock on the West Coast of the U.S. It's 10 o'clock at night in Japan, and I think about the same time in Australia, and sometime in the early afternoon in Europe.
Okay, Dan, very fine business. That ought to be a fun session. The last one had Frank in there, AB2KT, and I don't remember if, I don't think that Bob was there, but Frank was, and he had some very, very interesting things to say about DTTSP, and I'm sure this time both from Europe and Edson was there from Japan, so we ought to have some very interesting comments if they're able to make it again. And you fellas, I'll call your attention to the comment that was made down below that Eric at Flex has sent some email out at 8:16 p.m., which was just 15 minutes ago Chicago time, which highlights a brand new document on the Tortoise source version control interface, which allows you to get at the source and also to see all the HPSDR activities as well. So that looks like a very fine a piece of documentation he's done in PDF form. Very good. Congratulations to Eric. Even if he can't hear us on here, he'll see the downloads. He must be working late tonight, huh? Again, a good evening to you all. Thank you. The forum is now open.
Yeah, I'll make one other mention. I'm working with Dale, WISRA, with the ordering section of the HPSDR Atlas area. and we'll soon add at least the four or five cards that are close into a production, just to of course we don't know exactly how we're going to produce these at this point, but it would be appropriate to actually take early orders or at least early interest in these boards. So we will be modifying the Atlas section. It may have a different, quite a little bit different name, but we'll be using that to gauge interest for the other boards. Of course, I'll be using the Atlas order column for the shipments of the Atlas board in mid-June. But we'll have the Aussie board there and the Janus and several other boards that are fairly close to you know, offering or production and look like they're pretty much going to make it. But that will be there, and probably sometime by the end of the weekend. I'll also announce that and how to use it towards the end of the weekend. So I thank Dale for updating that function, and it makes a one-stop shopping type thing for HPSDR hardware. So thank you very much, Dale, and I'll have more about that on the forums. Don't know whether I was punching the right key.
Well, yeah. You're fine. No, I had a question. I had a question. Since you ordered some extra boards, would it be possible to order an extra board?
Yes, sir. The orders page is still open. You can change. Anybody can edit their orders and add boards to that. Feel free to do so. And I will say the board cost is going to be in the $7 range. It's about what they're going to price out. So, you know, that's just the board itself. So we've got postage and a little bit of handling there, depending on how folks are going to pay. So it's going to be pretty economical.
Bill, any update on the Paris DR software?
No, I've done nothing with it today. Ended up doing some other stuff, and we'll get into it. I mean, I guess the next thing you're looking for here is the trying to get rid of the glitches at 192 with the changing the read cycles, right?
Yeah. I found a feature in the last Verilog I sent you, which I just added a couple of. I just wired up the green and red LED so that I could decode the state of the two bits I'm using. You're sending me to set the speed of the A to Z converter, and I didn't even bother to try the code. There's only a couple of LEDs, but I found that. I got no audio when I had the when I wired up the LED code, and I actually built a loop in the code. And what was happening was, before I wired the LEDs up, the code was not getting compiled because it actually didn't do anything. And as soon as I added the LEDs and it had something to do, the compiler picked it up and screwed it up. But in fact, that was the problem. That was the problem all along. So anyway. Still pushing up the learning curve, but I fixed that now, and I've changed it to a state machine. I just checked the status, there's two bits, and decode them, and all seems to work fine now. So I'll push on with that. I've run into a snag running the Wolfson in slave mode, where you drive the clocks. The data sheet is definitely wrong. Normally the B clock and left-right clock, there's a fixed relationship, and they say there is in the data sheet, but if I drive them at the same relationship as I do when it's in master mode, then the Wolfson doesn't work. Just produces rubbish, and I've played around to find a set of combinations where it does work, but I'll email Wolfson during the week and just say, this is what I found. Can you confirm there's an error in the data sheet, or am I doing something else wrong? So I'm not going to waste any more time. The thing works fine in master mode. I can do all the other tests I need, so worry about that a little bit later on.
Yeah, I guess I would leave it in master mode, but it would be nice if they've got some sort of an errata sheet. That would be good to do. I did send an email off to All American today and got nothing back from them, so I'm getting a little perturbed with them. I guess I'll get on the phone with them next week again and see what's the story on the round of 10 for the first set of prototypes on the boards. I see Lyle's pumped out a new schematic and board layout. I need to go print out and check over once again.
Yeah, I had a look at that last night, but I couldn't find the PDF file. Has he? I can't read his Gerber files. Has he printed a PDF? You know,
I haven't pulled it yet. I think it's on the wiki actually, and I can tell you what I use to read the Gerbers. Let me go look for a minute.
So, okay, I know the file. I pulled it recently. I just couldn't get it to work before. I know the one you mean. Thanks, Bill.
Oh, okay. Do you need me to see if the PDF that's up there is any?
That's okay. I looked in the wiki last night, but it was pretty late. He just posted his email, and he may not have just made it through the system.
Yeah, okay. I need to go update the wiki with a picture of the layout again, because what's there now has the connectors on what is now the wrong side.
Yeah, if you could do, I'd really appreciate that. Let you have a look. See, I'm just a little concerned about keeping the clocks and the digital I/O well away from the very sensitive input on the AK chip.
Yeah, I wonder in routing those, can you route them with little, ground traces to try and protect them?
Yeah, you can surround the analog area with ground plane and then a gap. We've got separate analog and digital grounds anyway, which will help. But what I found in the breadboard is that because this chip's so sensitive, it'll pick up radiation from the digital signal, not simply capacitive coupling.
No, that wouldn't have done well for. My next idea was if we couldn't come to agreement on where the connector should be as well, just put a Wi-Fi transmitter on the damn thing and be done with it.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Probably not. I hear my cell phone interfere with things from time to time, so it probably wouldn't work very well, but oh well.
The other alternative, no, it's not going to. I just think we might be able to separate the analog and the digital signals, or put a screen over the, build the analog components in a little enclosure and have a metal screen top and bottom, like you can get on RF circuit boards. But the other thing is the 48K pickup is going to be absolutely constant. So we can always get rid of it in software.
I love you, Hart. You and Tony, you guys just love him. Gerald, too. Oh, we'll just fix it in software, yeah.
Yeah, it's only a few lines of code. What's the problem, Bill?
I got to get Frank and Bob McGuire in here to help out on this one. But, oh, well.
Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to check where this FedEx has got to with the Mercury chip, Mercury evaluation system in it.
Yeah, well, hopefully get out of Tennessee, Chattanooga, wherever the hell FedEx is. I guess they're in Memphis, aren't they?
Yeah, I went to Ohio, Memphis.
I think almost everything for FedEx has to go through Memphis. It's sort of a star-type distribution they do.
Budget.